Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, coming at you live every single day at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, bringing you your daily dose of urban inspiration, politics, hip-hop, pop culture, and anything else I can think of that's really, really important. I just want to say to everybody that was listening yesterday, it was a weird day for me, and I got a call from somebody who cares for me oh so much. She said, Saida, are you okay? Because you seemed a bit disconnected during the show today. And you know what I told her? I said, you know what? Yesterday was a hard day for me. It really, really was. And it's amazing because I built such a relationship and such a connection with everybody that listens to the show. But yesterday was really hard for me because I'm still dealing with this whole issue of stuff that is going on with Lehman and AIG and all of these things. So it was a tough day for me. And it's funny that I didn't even realize it resonated in my voice, in my attitude. And I felt a little disconnected just because I had so much information to share. And I just couldn't get it out. I just couldn't get it out yesterday. And so to everybody who listened to yesterday's show, thank you so much for listening. I love you all for listening. And it's just so amazing that I have friends, special friends and family that that kind of listen to the show and check me and just say, Cy, are you okay? Or Cy, is everything all right? You do not understand how much that means to me. And everybody needs encouragement. Every once in a while, everybody needs to know that they're loved and they can get support when need be. So I just want to give an extra, extra special thank you to everybody who listened yesterday and to my dear friends who hit me up in the chat room and just said, hey, Cy, what's going on? You don't sound like you today. Because it means a heck of a lot more than you can ever imagine. We're just going to talk a little bit about AIG and what happened overnight. Y'all know this show is not necessarily a financial market show or a show specifically about politics, but this has been such a heavy news week. I would be remiss in sharing all of the information that I know about these subjects with you all. So don't worry. Today is probably going to be like, I don't know. Actually, it was probably yesterday that would be the last full show where I dedicate the whole show to economic barriers and economic things that are going on in the economy right now. Today we're just going to talk about it for a little while, and then I want to talk about a couple of other things. But, yeah, this is some serious stuff. You know, this is stuff that that we can't miss. So on that note, I am going to jump right into our daily thought for today. And our daily thought for today, which is, what is today? Wednesday, September 17th. This is a good one. I think most of you know that I have another radio show that I do, nycgospel.com. And that show broadcasts at 9 in the morning. But that show specifically talks about church happenings and things affecting the faith-based community at 9 o'clock in the morning. So that show comes on pretty early for people on the West Coast, but it really just addresses, you know, happenings in and around New York. So today I read our daily thought, and it's really a good one because what's happening right now is a lot of the stuff that we see or a lot of the stuff that's happening, according to what I'm getting ready to read, is not really real. And if, in fact, that's the case, then we have to look beyond what we physically see and know what's true spiritually, and we can go from there. So I'm just going to kind of jump into this, and we can make it work from there. For Wednesday, September 17th, today's Daily Thought from the Hill, courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center, is, get this, I see beyond illusions. That's good, right?
Oh, radio.
Sickness, disease, stress, and unrest are all illusions. They are not real. That which is real never changes. It remains constant and does not fluctuate. What is real can always be counted on to be the same under all conditions and situations. Our thoughts or actions cannot disrupt what is real. When we trust God, we do not allow illusions to beset us. We affirm the truth and we see illusions disappear right before our eyes. Sickness, disease, stress, and unrest are illusions I see beyond. I watch them as they come, and I watch them as they go. I do not give them energy or attention. My attention is focused only on which is real and sustaining. Only God is real. Only God remains unchangeable. God is the same today as in the beginning of time. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Yeah. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Yeah. Let us be the light. And, you know, we hear that all the time, that we're the light of the world and Jesus is the light of the world. But I think when we think about it, we really have to live it, and we really have to walk it. And one of the things that's really good is that when we really understand what God does and who God is, just for that matter, we realize that all of this other stuff is illusions. And I know my husband and I were talking, and you know, a friend of mine, while I was sharing with him, a friend of mine told me perception is reality. And I never understood what perception is reality meant. I always felt, well, reality is reality. Perception is something that's a figment of my imagination. But you know what? The more I live and the older I become, or the more wise I become, I realize that perception really is what reality is. Your reality is what you make it out to be. So how you perceive things is actually what your reality becomes, if I'm saying that in a coherent way. So just when our daily thought is saying, I see beyond illusions, that really means that none of the stuff that we see is real anyway. It's just a matter of how we look at it, how we shape it, how we receive it, how we interpret it, and how we relay that to our daily living. So I think that's, you know, these daily thoughts are so on point every single day. So I just, you know, today is I see beyond illusions. And it's true. My mother, as you all know, is struggling and winning victoriously through ovarian cancer, and she had it, the doctor quoted, you got it good. So for a doctor to tell you we're going for comfort and not a cure, and telling her, well, you got it and you got it good, it's very disheartening. And my mother said, I'll never forget, she said, Saida, this is not real. And I'm saying, Ma, how can, like, do you hear what you're saying, that it's not real? It is real that you're sick. It is real that you have to go through chemo. And she's like, you know what? I just have to walk through this because my healing is on the other side. This is just something I have to go through to stay in my healing. And I was like, okay, maybe she's losing her marbles now because this is reality. And she's like, nope, it's not my reality. It's not the world in which I live. And I'm thinking, you know, in my brain, okay, we need to get her some Xanax or some Prozac or something, because she's just, you know, being disillusioned that she's got ovarian cancer. And you know something? My mother wakes up every single day the most cheerful person. She will call me. I could be going through whatever I'm going through. She's like, hey, Saida, how are you? I'm like, hey, Mom. She's like, it's another beautiful day, isn't it? And I'm like, where does she get this from? But she really, truly believes and lives by that the things of this world are not real. And I know in the Bible it says it's temporal, that it is, which to me, I interpret to mean is an illusion and it's not real. But I think it's just amazing to actually see somebody walk in that, knowing like you're sick, or knowing what your fate could be, or the reality of your mortality, and still have the courage and endurance and strength to make it through every single day. So big ups to my mom, who's just, you know, her name is Khadija, everybody. So big ups to my mom. So everybody, if you can keep my mom Khadija in prayer, that would be a really good thing for me. And to just one of the strongest, if not the strongest person that I know, because my mom is just cool like that. All right, enough about illusions and perception is reality and all that good stuff. I want to talk, and I said I wasn't going to talk about it for the whole show. I do want to get into a little bit about this whole situation of AIG. And I did mention I'm not going to make that the whole focus of today's show, but I think it's worth mentioning that AIG was bailed out yesterday, or, you know, kind of like that 11th hour situation. And I actually went onto Facebook and interacted with some people who actually worked for Lehman, and they're very, very angry right now. They're very angry because it seems as though the government bailed out Fannie Mae, the government bailed out Freddie Mac, the government bailed out Bear Stearns, the government bailed out AIG, but why not Lehman? Now, one of the things that I understand it, is that Lehman may get some relief from Barclays Bank, but we're not sure. That has yet to be seen. And just as I predicted yesterday, if you all remember, I predicted this yesterday, I said that the Feds were not going to change the interest rate. So I would like to go on record for saying I couldn't actually pinpoint it, but I was like, I really don't think they're going to lower the interest rate. And I really didn't think they were. Couldn't really pinpoint why, just my assessment of the situation. I didn't think they were going to. And when I woke up this morning, they didn't. Yes, keep your eye on Washington Mutual. I bank with Washington Mutual, so I am definitely keeping my eyes on that. Thanks, Yeshua. Please send how to say it in the chat room again, and I'm going to write it down because I don't want to chop up your name. But, yes, my eyes are definitely on Washington Mutual. Just a few more things. Look up the name Stan O'Neill. A lot of people are saying he's kind of the blame for what happened. Not sure. Just, you know, he's kind of the one that was up top. And just a lot of the blame is being placed on Stan O'Neill. But I think it's kind of like, what do you say, shutting the barnyard door after the horses have already got away? Yahoo. Okay, I got it. I'm writing this down. Yahoo. Thank you very much. I got it. Yahoo. Is that right? Yahoo. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Yahoo. All right, I got it. So now I'm good. But it's kind of like closing the barnyard door after the horses or the pigs or whatever have gotten out. To sit right now and blame Stan O'Neill is pointless. And I think what we really have to look and research is what's going to happen to Merrill Lynch. And in my research between yesterday and today, I realized that out of the top five firms, three of them are gone. And they were able to last through the depression, but they have not been able to last through this credit crunch. And I don't know where to place blame, and I'm not sure if it's a situation that we should start placing blame or pointing fingers, but I think it's something that we really have to look at as to how a company, an investment firm, can last through the depression but can't last through the credit crisis of 2008. Another thing, I did a lot of research on Goldman Sachs and why Goldman Sachs has, I don't want to necessarily say thrive, but how Goldman Sachs has been able to survive. And this is my assessment. The investments by these companies were secured by the subprime mortgages. And the culture of Goldman Sachs, like if you just kind of look up Goldman Sachs and what they stand for, and what Goldman Sachs' motto is and what they represent, you'll see that their culture was, they were very able to assess the risk. And by them being able to assess risk, it kept them particularly shielded from this whole demise of our banks or our investment companies as we know it. So whatever Goldman Sachs is doing, they had their finger directly on the pulse. And I think it's just kind of bad that the companies risked so much. It's like they bet the farm or they rolled the dice. I'm not a dice player, but I think, you know, if you crap out or whatever, however they say craps or something like that, and you lose, that's what it seems like they were doing. But there was so much at stake. And I know that a lot of them live by the motto, the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward, the bigger the failure. And that really rings true because this was really, really, really really on the edge, really on the edge of it. I want to just read something to you very quickly. It's not very long, but I think it's definitely something that's worth everybody kind of knowing. Yeah, it's not very long. It'll be quick. The government bails out AIG with $85 billion loan. Now, remember, the government really is not involved with investments. These are private companies with a board. So if you research and look and see a private company with a board, they do not have to answer to the government. So that's just like if you and I, all of us, we got together and started a company and we appointed a board of directors. We have nothing to do with the government. The government has nothing to do with us. So based on that premise, just remember what I'm getting ready to read, because I really don't think the government should have bailed out AIG, but I'll tell you why I believe they did in a moment. And again, this is based on my research the last 24 hours. Government bails out AIG with $85 billion loan. For the second time this month, the U.S. government put taxpayer money on the hook to rescue a private financial company, saying the failure of the huge insurer American International Group Incorporated would further disrupt markets and threaten the already fragile economy. The Federal Reserve said Tuesday it would provide up to an $85 billion in emergency two-year loan to rescue AIG, which teetered on the edge of failure because of stresses caused by the collapse of the subprime mortgage market and the credit crunch that has ensued. In return, the government will get a 79.9% stake in AIG and the right to remove senior management. The move was similar to the government's seizure on September 11th of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, where the Treasury Department said it was prepared to put up as much as $100 billion. Y'all follow these numbers, $100 billion, over time in each of the companies if needed to keep them from going broke. Both moves were bound to raise questions about the use of taxpayer money to bail out private firms. The Fed said it determined that a disorderly failure of AIG could hurt the already delicate financial markets and the economy. Although little known off Wall Street, AIG does business with almost every financial institution in the world and insures $88 billion worth of assets, including mortgages and corporate loans. Its failure could also lead to substantially higher borrowing costs, reduced household wealth, and materially weaker economic performance, the Fed said in a statement. The decision to help AIG reversed the government's stance over the weekend when it refused to use taxpayer money to bail out Lehman Brothers Holdings. Lehman, which filed for bankruptcy protection Monday, collapsed under the weight of mounting losses related to its real estate holdings. The White House said it backed the Fed's decision Thursday, and that's the end of that. Another quick blurb reads as follows. The worries were heightened Monday after Moody's Investor Service and Standard & Poor's lowered AIG's credit rating, forcing AIG to seek more money for collateral against its insurance contracts. It might, and this is a quote, it might not just bring down other financial institutions in the United States, it could bring down overseas financial institutions as well, said Timothy Canova, a professor of international economic law at Chapman University School of Law. If Lehman Brothers' failure could help trigger AIG's going down, who knows who AIG's failure could trigger next? New York-based AIG operates an insurance and financial services business ranging from property, casualty, auto, and life insurance to annuity and investment services. Those traditional insurance operations are considered healthy, and the National Association of Insurance Commissioners said they are, quote, solvent and have the capability to pay claims, end quote. Now, let's look at all of this from another perspective. Basically, I think what they're doing is just fighting the inevitable. And it says, I think we can safely say that we are in a recession. Well, I think that's an understatement. I think that's definitely an understatement, because what's happening now is with them bailing out AIG, now the government has an 80%, almost 80%. I want to be quoted correctly because this can be downloaded on iTunes, and I want to make sure if it's ever played back, I'm accurate. 79.9%. According to published reports, the government now will own AIG. The little caveat is this. What they did was give them a two-year loan that gives them a 79.9% stake in the company. Now, you already know it's AIG is in the bed with all of these global banks. So does that mean when they pay the money back that the government won't own it anymore? This is the burning question, and I'll tell you why in a second. And I see we have a caller. Caller, I'll take you in a minute. Does that mean that the government is now going to relinquish ownership? So does that mean the government is now taking up ownership in private companies, especially investment companies? I don't know. I think it's something that we really have to research, because that information, that little nugget of information, I looked for and could not find. I really, after we take this caller, I'm going to touch on the fact, I don't know if anybody else knows this, but the end of the fiscal year ends on September 30th for the United States, and I read online, and I'll forward you the link, that the week of October 5th, it's going to be declared an economic emergency, and under an economic emergency, the November elections can be suspended. So I'm going to take this call and talk about that in a second. Hi, caller, are you there?
Hey, Miss Thai, what's going on with you today?
Who's this? John?
Rolling from Trueview Radio, the voice you don't hear, but just always in your chat room.
What's going on? Thanks for joining me today. Talk to me.
Well, I got computer issues today, so I can't connect with the show, so I figured I'd call in and listen to the show meanwhile I, you know, get the job done.
Okay,
so
then you know what? I'll put you back on hold.
Beautiful.
Okay. Everybody, that was Trueview Radio. He's always with us in the chat room, but he's at work. He's on the West Coast, and so he said, Sai, I can't, you know, listen online, so I had to dial in. So I just want to say big ups to Trueview Radio. Thank you for joining us today, as always. And you know what? I don't see you in the chat room. I probably would have realized it towards the end of the show. But let me go back to what I was just saying about what I read today. I want you all to research, and I say research, don't just take my word for it, that if a declaration of, it says, hold on one second, I just got hit up in the chat room, dumb Americans from, I have no sound, I'm not sure why you don't have sound, I'm not getting that from anybody else, so maybe you want to just check your internet connection, but thanks for hitting me up in the chat room and letting me know. Okay, yeah, everybody else has sound, so that's good. You know what, this happens at times, so that's why I appreciate everybody listening in the chat room, because you let me know if the show is transmitting okay. But look it up. Let me know if you find any information, because I've looked it up and I found a lot of information that in case an economic emergency is declared, the elections can be suspended. And if in fact that's the case, we know what's going to happen. There will be no November 4th election. And if there is no November 4th election, guess who stays in power? You got it. Our dear friend, Mr. Bush. So I want us to look that information up as well, because what impact will that have, especially with the financial crisis that we're going through right now, it gets deeper. I mean, already we're losing banks, and I see, oh wait, it says Yeshu. Okay, I can get with that, Yeshu. Thank you, Yeshu. Says to keep an eye on Washington Mutual. Some of the places that I get my information from and some of the places that I encourage you to get your information from, I read the Huffington Post a lot, which is very liberal-leaning, but I also read foxbusiness.com because that's kind of right-leaning, but I try to do it so that way I can get perspectives on both sides. The only reason I'm not taking this economic emergency press release too much is because When I researched it on the internet, I kept getting it from like the exact same source. So I don't know if it's that like one particular, you know how they have the, I think it's the 527 or the 529 groups, how they can pick a platform and run with it. That was the whole Swift Boat thing with John Kerry. They could have put out like a press release, but every time I researched it online, it all came back to that same that same press release. So I don't know how true it is, but I do think it's something that we should look up, because one thing we have to know, if you really, really look at it, and I hate to say the D word, but if we really look at it, does it not seem as though we're moving into a dictatorship? And some people would say no, that we still live in a democracy, but it's something that we have to consider. Dumb Americans for McCain can't trust Fox. They mess up the news. Well, you know something, and I said this yesterday. Thank you for sharing that in the chat room. I said this yesterday. If you look at 10 websites, you're going to get a little snippet or a little snapshot of the truth from each one. So we have to do our best to discern which bit of information, where's the common thread between all of these different news sources. Now, let's just take what I just shared about this whole economic emergency situation. And I'm saying to you all, I don't know if it's true. It's something that I read online. And the more research I did, it kept taking me back to the same press release. And because we live in a 24-hour news cycle, a lot of these news outlets don't have the time to properly research stories before putting them on the air. They have their research department do a little bit, try to do due diligence, but they don't. Back in the day when we had like an early morning newscast, a lunchtime newscast, and like a 5 and 6 p.m. newscast, and then an 11 o'clock newscast, it allowed 5 hours. If you think the 7 o'clock news, the 12 o'clock news, there's, 4 or 5 hours there. Then 12 to 5, you got another 4, or 12 to 6, the 6 o'clock news, you got another 4 or 5 hours there. And then the 11 o'clock news, you got another 4 or 5 hours there. So I think there was more credibility in the news before we started into this 24-hour news cycle. But now with Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, and CNBC all in a 24-hour news cycle, and them all pining for ratings, they have to do whatever they can do as quickly as possible to get the news on the air. Because people, we all know we live in an instant gratification society, so everybody is doing what they can do as quickly as possible to satisfy our salacious desire for news or quote-unquote entertainment news, because a lot of it's entertaining. We all know Fox is very right-slanting, MSNBC is very left-leaning, and CNN tries to play itself in the middle. And I think they do a decent job at it, but in the days of entertainment reporting, they've placed more of an emphasis on the personalities instead of the actual content of the news, which I think does the citizens and the viewers a disservice. So that's a little bit disheartening. I do want to share with you one thing. Fox Business is reporting as of, and I'll tell you what time, because I want to make sure the time is correct. Fox News is reporting that the Dow Jones has just fallen 300 points. Now, it fell 500 points on Monday, but then it ticked back up to over 11,000 yesterday. And even if you don't understand what all of these numbers mean, it's definitely worth looking into, because if not, we're all going to be dead in the water. So I just encourage you to just start looking. If you don't know what securities are, I didn't know what securities really were, but I had to start looking it up and start trying to figure out what this all means and how it affects my personal income and my bottom line. I'm a very public figure, but I'm also a very normal person, so you don't have to worry about me sitting here and touting and spewing stuff from an elitist position, because I definitely, my husband and I are definitely not like that. We are definitely two people that go to work every day. Doing this radio show basically is very much a part of my job and part of what I do for a living and bringing you news and information. And I consider it a blessing to kind of sneak away from what I do to come to you every day. But I think we're really normal people too. We really want to just raise our kids, raise our family, and do what we have to do. But because this is now affecting everyday Americans like myself, just normal people that get up, they're not in trouble with the law, we just get up and go to work every day, you have to educate yourself. You have to become more, and the word I always love to use with my kids, and they hate it, is cognizant. You have to be more cognizant about what's going on around you. I'm very proud to say, hey, listen, everybody, and I put it on my Facebook page today. I said, has anybody heard anything about this economic emergency and the suspension of the elections. I haven't had a chance to go back and check my Facebook page, but I'll see. And you know what? If I'm wrong, oh well. You know, oh well. But at least I'm looking. At least I'm looking and I'm learning, because I want to know what's going on and I want to know how this is going to affect me. But anyway, back to the Dow Jones. This doesn't have a time stamp on it, but it's just saying that the headline is selling accelerates: Dow plunges 300. I don't know about this, y'all. But anyway, okay, let me continue on, and I'll save my commentary for the end. I don't want to mix up the story with with my opinion. And this, again, is not a really long one. Well, it's long, but I'm going to read. Oh, no, that's just individual stock information. No, it's not really a long one, so I'm going to read. It'll probably take me about a minute or two. So, you guys, you know, are hanging out with me for a minute, so you can deal with it. The blue chips plunged more than 300 points Wednesday, which is today, as the government's rescue of insurance giant American International Group failed to quell fears about the ability and willingness of banks to lend to each other. As of 12:03 p.m., As of 12:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so that was actually just maybe 20 minutes ago, the Dow Jones Industrial Average slid 346.61 points, or 3%, to 10,712. The Standard & Poor's 500 dropped 44.74 points, or 3.69%, to 1168.86, and the NASDAQ dropped and lost 3.61% of its value. The Fox 50 fell 3.15% of its value. And here's a footnote, and this is in the article. Just because the government gave an $85 billion life preserver to AIG doesn't mean everything is fine. If anything, there is more concern. There are significant credit market fears, says Michael James, senior equities trader at Wedbush Morgan Securities. Wednesday marked the third consecutive day with a triple-digit plunge at the opening bell, underscoring the level of anxiety that has slammed Wall Street this week. The nervousness led to the 504-point plunge on the Dow on Monday, the largest point decline since the aftermath of September 11th attacks. We've gone from a market concerned about the macroeconomic issues to a market that bounces from disaster to disaster, says Art Hogan, chief market strategist at Jefferies & Company. Where is the next shoe to drop? And I'm going to skip down a little bit because it's just giving a lot of stock figures. But I really want to get to the core of our rich uncle, namely Sam, bailing out AIG. AIG's $85 billion life preserver, in the largest government bailout of a private company in U.S. financial history, the Federal Reserve provided AIG $85 billion in emergency loans to save the insurer from bankruptcy. The government provided the loan at a very high interest rate, and it was contingent on AIG providing the entire company's assets as collateral. Also, the U.S. government received equity warrants that will effectively give U.S. taxpayers a 79.9% stake in AIG. This action heavily dilutes AIG's current stockholders, but it does not wipe them out completely. The fact that Uncle Sam had to rescue AIG is not a negative for the markets. It is somewhat positive in the sense we avoided a major catastrophe. It's better than the alternative, said Peter Cardillo, chief market economist at Avalon Partners. The federal government determined AIG needed to be rescued, and it was too big to fail. That's something that we should be happy about, says Hogan. Now, all the rest of the article is just a bunch of numbers and da-da-da-da-da, but I do want to read something else very, very quickly before I go back into the chat room. We were just talking about Washington Mutual. The article highlights Washington Mutual, and the cool thing is that the numbers in the article, because it's online, are in real time. So as I'm reading this, the figures on the page are changing. Washington Mutual fell sharply again after Merrill Lynch cut its price target to $1 from $3 and predicted the nation's largest saving and loan may soon have to sell itself. Merrill said it suspects WaMu's board would seriously consider an offer, even if it was at a discount to what it believes the company is worth. WaMu's retail bank footprint remains attractive to potential suitors. Well, when I first started reading it, it was down a little over 9%, and since I've read it, it's now down 8.62%. Now, in just a couple of seconds, it's back up to negative 9.05%. So there's a lot of trading, a lot of activity, and a lot of stuff going on right now. Let me go back into the chat room and see what's being said in the chat room and read some of this stuff to you. Okay, dumb Americans for McCain. At the Republican convention, they thank the media. That's true. I tell my daughter that America is only 200 years old, and we only been in the game 40 years ago. I teach myself as well. Oh, my God, we're going to be a third world country if McCain gets in office. Well, you know something? I think we're on our way to that no matter what. I think we're on our way to that no matter what, because what's happening is with this current economic crisis and with the credit crunch, Americans, I hate to say it, are a little too selfish to change their standard of living. Thank you for joining us in the chat room today, but I have shared with the group before that there's a guy that my husband works with, and, you know, when money got a little bit tight for everybody, you know, a lot of the guys started bringing in their lunch. This guy just will not bring in his lunch. And, you know, my husband was joking with him. He said that, you know, oh, you're going to have to start eating more chicken and da-da-da. We don't eat red meat anyway, so for us, eating a steak is moot. It doesn't matter. But the point is, my husband joked, hey, you know, you're going to have to give up your steak soon. I'm not giving up my steaks. I need my steak, and I need to put a steak on the grill. And it's funny because every once in a while, to him, has he given up steaks yet? And the answer still is no. But I think it's just a little indicative of the arrogance of the American public. But I think what's going on with this financial crisis right now is that Americans are really starting to say, wait a minute. You know, a lot of people lived off their credit to try to maintain the same lifestyle in which they're already accustomed because they never could fathom in a million years that it would get to this point. But it is. So now the credit has run up and the gravy train has stopped, and now it's really, really a bad situation. And I've even explained, just running a business, I've really had to cut down a lot of expenses. I've had to fall back on a lot of things, and it sounds very pretentious of me, but I gave up Starbucks like a year ago. And I know that probably sounds very shallow, but for so long I didn't think about anything about spending, you know, $3-4 for a cup of coffee. My grandmother, I told her one time, I'm going for a cup of coffee, and I got one for me and then one for later on that day because caffeine is obviously very addicting, not very good for you, but very addicting. And when I got home, I was complaining because I spent $10 on coffee. No, I hadn't. I spent like $8 and some change. But she says, you spend that much? I remember when coffee was 50 cents and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I really thought nothing of it. But it's been well over a year for me to say I regularly go to Starbucks. Now I may go once a month. I almost went today just for, you know, like one of the fall flavors that they have. But again, it speaks to the arrogance and indifference of what we have to cut back. And it's all relative. It's all relative to everybody's financial situation. It's all relative and speaks to everybody where they are. For me here in New York, it may be Starbucks. For somebody else, it may be their season passes to a football game. I'm not a fan of football. You know, funny thing is when my younger son was playing football, I know nothing of football. So when all the parents would stand up and cheer, I would stand up and cheer. And when all the parents would curse at the umpire, I'd yell and curse, not really curse, but, you know, fuss out. I call it the umpire, the referee. That goes to show you I really don't know about football, and nobody better hit me in the chat room laughing at me. I called the person monitoring the football game an umpire. Sorry about that. But for some people, it may be, okay, we can't get season tickets for this year. For some people, it may be there's no ice cream this week when we go food shopping. And for some people, it may be there's no meat this week when we go food shopping. So I think it's all very relative. But let me just read a couple more things in the chat room. And I do want to switch gears a little bit because I promised you at the top of the show that I'm not going to make the whole show about AIG and all that other stuff. I'm getting a lot of activity. Okay, it says, when I was making the comment about Starbucks, Dumb Americans for McCain, said it's something that you liked. I had to cut back as well. I'm an RN, but I'm also in med school, and I don't have money. Dropping seats, laughing at me. Dumb Americans from McCain also said, I pack my lunch, no Japanese steakhouse for lunch. Yeah, you really had to. You really, really had to. And this is, I've kind of been on this kick since last week when we were talking about September 11th, where everybody's really, really, really had to cut back. So that's really it about that. Let me just check my Facebook. I'm checking my Facebook right now really quickly, and I don't see where anybody has commented on what I put up this morning, because I did put, I was wondering if anyone else heard that the week of October 5th an economic emergency will be called and the November elections will be suspended. I don't know if people are saying I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, or people are just going to watch and play by ear, or they're doing their own research. I don't know, but I did want to just follow up with Facebook while I still had us on the air. Dumb Americans, I'm just going to put a comment out to you, and then I'm going to switch gears. I'll see if you respond in the chat room. Your screen name is Dumb Americans for McCain. If, in fact, and I'm reading your posts, you seem relatively liberal, why would you say Dumb Americans for McCain? Are you calling the Americans who are for McCain dumb? I don't know. I'd like you to weigh in on that, because I find that very interesting. I find that very interesting. So if you can respond to that, I would appreciate it. But the other thing I wanted to talk about today is, guess what, everybody? I've got a new book coming out. but here's why I'm talking about it on the air. Okay, Dumb Americans for McCain, if you could just type some information, and I'll share that once I finish talking about the book. The name of my new book is called Life Remixed, and it's really based on this show, and I really didn't know that it was going to come to this. I kind of just had this whole Life Remix comment, but I really want to put out there that I would like all of you listeners who are interested to contribute to the book, and it's a special offer. It's not going to cost you anything, so I'm saying special offer loosely, but I really want to get your thoughts and opinions into this book, and let me tell you how I'm going to break the book down, and that's why I kind of am switching gears, just not like right at the end of the show, because I want everybody to marinate on it. And this, you know, I'm willing to accept, you know, or to like to accept submissions from anybody, but I really want to send this out to Dropping Seed, TrueView, Ms. V, Tiff, people that are with me in the chat room every single day. This is how I'm going to break the book down. And then Dumb Americans for McCain, I see you adding comments. Once I finish talking about the book, I'll go back to that. The book Life Remix is, for all of you that don't know, I'll just kind of give you a quick history. I'm the author of From Hip Hop to Heaven, From Hip Hop to Heaven for Girls, Can Hip Hop Be Holy, and 100 Words of Wisdom for Women, of which I'm a contributor, and the proceeds go to benefit domestic violence. The whole concept of Life Remix, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again, I'm challenging everybody to rethink everything they know about everything they know. And that's why I do this every single day. I've been on this whole politics and finance kick, but it's really just because that's what's really hot right now. But like the book, Life Remix, it's going to be, I want to almost say a self-help book. That's probably the category that the bookstores are going to put it in, but I'm not sure. But here's how it's going to be broken down. The book is going to be heavily indexed, because the book, my prayer and my desire is that it breaks down into like a reference book. So if people want information about a particular subject, they can go to the index and then be able to find where we talk about it in the book. Now, here's how, these are some of the topics that I would like to talk about. And each chapter, I guess you want to call it, it's only going to be a couple pages long, because I want to talk about everything under the sun about life, because don't forget that we're challenging the reader to rethink everything they know about everything they know. So, for example, there's going to be a section on religion and spirituality and wellness. For example, can you hear God's voice? I'm going to include a section on health and cancer. I really want to know if cancer is like, what's the deal with cancer? Because I know too many people that are, you know, have cancer. My friend, another friend of mine just got diagnosed with breast cancer. What is up with that? education, traditional education versus self-education, knowledge versus wisdom, versus intellect, exploring our education system. I want to talk about love and relationships. I want to talk about soul ties. I want to talk about can someone be born gay. We're going to touch on parenting. We're going to touch on politics. Definitely, y'all know there's going to be a lot about politics. I want to talk about synchronicity. I want to talk about pop culture. I want to talk about identity. Right now I'm working on the chapter of identity because I don't know how many of you have heard that Oprah Winfrey, that this group of Republican women from Florida are going to boycott Oprah's magazine as well as her show because she won't have Sarah Palin on the show. Well, I'm writing right now, and I touched on it on my blog on Life Remixed Radio. If you go to the website, you'll see my blog posting this morning where Oprah had to make a decision. Is she a woman who's black, or is she a black woman? And I think she realized I'm black first. And so now her loyalty is aligning more so with Obama. So now all these Republican women are up in arms, and they're canceling subscriptions. So there's going to be a whole section on identity. There's going to be a section on employment, reemployment. I'm going to talk about abortion in the book. I am a pro-choice Christian, and some people would say, how can you be a Christian and how can you be pro-choice? Well, I don't want it for me personally, but I don't think the government has a right to choose. So what I'm saying to everybody is if you have an essay or if there's anything that you would like to contribute to the book, please send it over to me. I'm under deadline, unfortunately, by October 1st, so I would have to have your submission by October 1st. But if you would like to submit a contribution or make a contribution to the book, and I'll send you all the details, like all the specs, if you send me an email saying that you would like to do it, I'll include your information. I'll include where you're from. I'll include your picture if you'd like. I'll include all of that information. But I want people to really buy the book, Life Remixed, and look at it as how to get through the next 25 years in this country. Do you see what I'm saying? Because people don't know. I don't know. I don't even know. But I'm putting a lot of my research into this book because I know people are confused. And we're forced to rethink everything about how we thought our life was going to be. So I'm sending this out to all of my listeners. If you would like to make a written contribution to the book, Life Remixed, just send me something in an email, sb@cybrown.com, and I'll send you all of the details. But this book is going to be published in October, so the book is going to be out and ready in October, and you'll get author credit. But again, I'll send you the information if you just shoot me an email, sb@cybrown.com. Now, I just wanted to get that in because it's already the middle of September, and that means you only have like 2 weeks to get me the information, and that's really what I wanted to spend the second half of the show about today, but I got a little off track. But let me go back to the stuff that's written in the chat room because the question before I went into my 20-minute commercial, I had asked Dumb Americans for McCain about the name. Like, are you calling Dumb Americans dumb because they're voting for McCain, or what was that all about? So I'm going to read her comments, and now I'm just going to start reading what's in the chat room. So, let me scroll down. Okay, she said, she's saying yes, dumb Americans for McCain. Is that her statement that Americans are dumb for voting for McCain? We are going through hell with Bush. Why would they want to do it for the fourth term with McCain? Gas prices are over $4, no jobs. We rank 25th. Yes, we do. I just read that as far as education goes. We're so horrible. We spend billions of dollars. And Yeshua says, I know that that may sound corny, but there are a lot of things going on besides the finance. You're absolutely right. And she put like, oh, this is nice, like bees dying in droves. You're absolutely right. You know what? Let me add that to my Life Remix list right now. Global warming. Global warming and greening. Y'all know I'm doing this as we speak. Can you imagine? Talk about doing things in real time. So if anybody has any contribution to make about global warming or greening, I'll accept that too. Like the bees dying in droves. I had no clue that bees were dying. I had no idea until I just read it in the chat room. We are not safe anymore. This is from Dumb Americans for McCain. America did nothing about 9/11. Yeshua said, most people don't know how we really depend on those insects. Oh, well, maybe that's something I can look up or you can share with us for tomorrow. I did not understand the magnitude or the contribution in which bees make, but if they make that much of a contribution, you know, enlighten me and I'll share it with everybody. Further on, Dumb Americans from McCain says, it just made the GOP rich. Yeshu said, just do a Google search about it. And Dumb American says, but I'm sick of the media saying blacks are voting for Obama without knowing anything. Well, yeah, I'm a little fed up with that, too. And I remember I was interviewed for Huffington Post, and I remember saying I'm not voting for Barack just because he's black. And just a quick programming note, I was on someone else's radio show last night, and the person who invited me assumed that I was a Barack supporter. And at the top of the show, she said, tell me a little bit about yourself. I said, well, I'm voting for Barack, not for Barack, but really against McCain. And it kind of threw the whole show into a spin, but I just don't want people to think I'm voting for Barack just because he's black. That makes me think that I'm not stupid. And I said I'm a registered independent because I really wanted, at least in my brain, even if I side with the Democrats, in my brain I can at least rationalize. I want to look at both candidates from a fair and objective perspective before I just by default cast my vote. But yes, I have to agree. But they say they won't vote for Obama because he's black. Well, you know, that has yet to be seen. Here's what I'm afraid of about that. Listen to this. I'm thinking because of Barack's popularity, a lot of people are saying they're going to vote for him and really won't. So I'm thinking we got to watch out on the day of election that all of a sudden McCain starts winning because there are a lot of closet people that are in public saying, yeah, we're down for Barack, but at the end of the day, don't want to see him in office. So just be mindful and watch that curve as well. And Dumb American says, I'm so sick of being in a class in a country my people built. Well, yeah, you're right. And Dumb American from McCain, thank you very much for joining us today, for hitting us up and being so active in the chat room. Excuse me. Welcome to the Life Remix family. So thank you. I'm going to read a couple more. Oh, LaVon, she says, I'm anticipating this book. Messiah is an awesome writer and always gives her readers quality info. Thank you. Thank you very much. I try. Yeah, and the book is going to be deep. Dumb American says, where do I get your book? How much? Well, it's not done yet. but it will be available on the blog, which is liferemixedradio.com. And Dropping Seed says, wow, that sounds like a deep book. I'm in. Yeah, well, you better be. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. You're in it by default. That gives me a reason to come to Tennessee. You're in the book by default. But, yeah, Life Remixed is going to be a good book, and I anticipate it. And I sound like a recording artist. It's going to be my best one yet. But I really feel it is because there's so many people that are confused, and the best part is they're going to get a little dose of Jesus in there. I can't do anything without putting a little bit of the Lord in everything that I do, because there's no way anybody can survive what we're going through right now without the Lord. And I'm not trying to get up and preach or do anything like that, but for those of you who may not think there is a God, for people that may be listening who are not participating in the chat room, please know that there is a God, and that not even there is a God, there is God, and God does exist, and God is very, very real. So although I laugh and, you know, hang out and we bug out every day, just know that there is a God, and he's actively involved, and the Spirit of the Lord is actively involved in every single thing we do and in every decision that we make. So Life Remixed will definitely have a moderate dose of Jesus and the Lord in the book, but I want people, saved, secular, whoever, to pick up this book and say, whoa, Life Remix, because we are going to go through it. I think we're only 20% into this, and you know I'm a numbers person, and my statistics, well, I'm only going based on my number from yesterday that I said the Fed wasn't going to change it, so far I'm one for one, but I think we're only 20% into what's really going to happen in this country. And I think we have another 80% to go. I really feel like that. I don't think we're going to see any relief until 2011, which is 3 more years down the line. And 2011 just popped into my head as I was talking, and it just happens to be 3 more years down the line. So for those of you in the kingdom, y'all understand the significance of 3. So, you know, if we have 3 more years of this to go, I think this book is really going to touch a lot of people's lives, and it's really going to be It's going to change. Dumb Americans from McCain, I don't do religion, but I will support your book. Well, thank you. I'm not sure what I don't do religion means, because I don't do church. If that means we kind of think the same thing, I encourage people to choose their churches wisely. But I believe in God, and I believe that He's actively involved in my life every day. LaVon, I saw that you have to go. Everyone have a blessed day. Don't worry, you're not missing much, because I'm getting ready to sign off the air anyway. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us, sweetie, and I'll see you tomorrow in the chat room. Dumb American says, I think if we don't look to find out who your God is or was, then you won't know. Well, yeah, you have to search. You have to search. God is going to be in your life only as much as you really ask the Spirit to be in your life. You know, you have to kind of say, come on in. I just want to get one more thing into Dumb Americans for McCain. What mastermind, well, I don't agree with that. But anyway, Yeshu says, sent us a link from CNN. Hello, how may I help you?